You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and join us today are Daniel Carey Whalen, David Smith Soto, and Sita Rocho. Daniel is the director of the Centennial Museum. David Smith Soto is a former faculty member here, outstanding photographer, and he's going to have an exhibit opening up this Thursday at the museum. And Sita Rocha is one of our journalism professors here, and she's going to talk about the guest speaker that will be opening up the exhibit. Thank you, gentlemen and lady, very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Let's start first of all with you, Daniel. Tell us a little bit about the museum. People may not be familiar with the Centennial Museum. They've driven by it, seen it, heard about it, but they may not know what you all have.
Yes, that's true. And we're really trying to get the Centennial Museum out there in the public's eye, but also out in the faculty and students' eye. Yeah, so we're really trying to raise awareness with our student body. So we're the only natural and cultural history museum of the Chihuahuan Desert here in El Paso. So we do have galleries of biology, anthropology, geology, and paleontology on our third floor. But then on the second floor, we have rotating exhibits that often focus on the Chihuahuan Desert. And we also have the gardens, the Chihuahuan Desert gardens around the museum. But we use the space on the second floor mainly to show off works by faculty, or in this case, former faculty members, students, and even alum.
And you have right now, currently, an alum, Joel Salcido.
Yes.
He took some great pictures of tequila and how it's made and
yes,
just the workers, all that.
Right. So we have three exhibits on the main floor, and we're going to have a fourth one. So we're trying to utilize our space to the best of its ability. So we have a small student exhibit in our pop-up gallery space that focuses on students with disabilities. We have Cabinets of Curiosity in our Tom Lee Gallery, which is stuff from our collection that hasn't been seen a lot. So if you really want to know what's in our collection, you should come by and see that exhibit. But then there is the tequila exhibit. It is alum Joel Salcido. And for us, it's a journey to Jalisco. It's a journey into the Mexican countryside. Beautiful, wonderful photography. We are showing it as an art exhibit. And so you can just look at the pictures of the agave plant and the process of tequila making. But it's also an exhibit about Mexican identity. And that's what we really want to be highlighting, especially now in this time of political divisiveness. I'm so excited to bring in David's work and talk about Cuba in our space because, we have two countries that are very similar in kind of the rhetoric, the negative political rhetoric that's going out towards them. So Joel's work on tequila, some of the images are really, highlighting the beautiful things that are coming out of Mexico, not just tequila, which is wonderful, but mariachi, the charro culture, the art and the people. My background's humanities, but the arts and the humanities, that's our job, is to be bringing more people-to-people connections, kind of going past all the political rhetoric and getting into the hearts and souls of the people of Mexico and now Cuba.
And as we mentioned, David Smith Soto is also opening up an exhibit this week. And David is a friend, a former faculty member here. And I always knew that David took pictures because of his camera. But he and I really got interested in talking about cameras when he introduced me to his friend, Mr. Mitchell, who took that fabulous picture of the Beatles. David is here to talk about his street photography. And when we talk about that, when we say that term, David, sometimes a lot of people don't understand, well, what is street photography?
Well, street photography is photography of the life of the city, usually an urban area, and photographing it as it happens. Now, photography in general has always been an outdoor thing. That's how it started. That's where the light was. And you can go back to the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, and you see a lot of outdoor photography, some of it really good. But street photography as we know it today didn't really come about until the mid-1920s, late 1920s, with the advent of the Leica 35mm camera, which was very small, very fast. And then photographers like from France, Cartier-Bresson, became famous with a photograph of a man jumping over a puddle, and he captured it in midair. So that is what we're talking about, this the distinct moment that something happens in the streets which evokes the life of that particular city. And just a little bit more history, a man named Frank published a book in the mid-1950s called The Americans, and he traveled throughout the U.S. on a Guggenheim Fellowship, published this book called The Americans, and it shows aspects of American cities that nobody had really photographed anymore or ever. There's this idea that a photograph has to be a smiling face. Well, Frank didn't photograph that. He photographed all kinds of things that evoked isolation, discrimination, as well as some very positive aspects of the States. But there is a point at which a photograph taken outdoors becomes art. Okay, it's very hard to say when and where that actually happens. But street photography is not just a photograph of something happening in the street. It's elevated, for some reason that I can't really describe, into the nature of art by capturing something in an instant that tells a whole story.
Tell us about some of the pictures that we can see at the museum.
Sure. They run from edifices of Havana to portraits. The portraits of people on the street, are taken. Sometimes they know I'm taking the photograph, sometimes they don't. But in every case, I'm trying to, again, evoke something about their life in that city. It just so happens that in Havana, life happens in the street. Especially in the summer, the streets are filled with kids playing soccer, vendors, with ordinary people just walking about, having conversations outside their house. They hang around the streets. So for a street photographer, it's paradise.
And so you mentioned a little while ago the fact that they can know it's being taken, or you can do it, you know, kind of without them knowing. In that instance, because sometimes if you tell them that it's being taken, a lot of people tend to pose, smile, as you mentioned, and you want to capture that right. natural moment. And you did. I remember the pictures you showed me before, and you gave me a picture of a little girl.
Yeah, I was in Honduras.
Honduras, uh-huh. And those pictures just kind of show their character, show everything without them having to say anything.
Exactly. Let me give you a specific example from the Cuba exhibit. I have a friend, an older Jewish man. There are very few Jews left in Havana. I think there's 1,000 in us in Cuba. And he and I have become friends through my trips. And I was going to his house. And on the sidewalk next to his apartment, there was a woman standing there with a parrot on her chest, a parrot. And it was like her pet, and she was talking to it and petting it. And I stopped by. She looked at me as if I weren't there, and she kept on talking to her parrot. And I took probably 20, 25 pictures in 1 minute of that event. And like I was there, I wasn't there, she knew, she didn't care. Finally, the photograph that I finally picked was one where she is intensely talking to the bird, and that's what's going to be hanging in the gallery.
It's got to be hard to decide what you're going to use because you've taken so many pictures,
yes.
And then all of a sudden they say, well, you can only choose 30 or 50.
Well, I have criteria, you know, that I set for myself. And taking the photograph is one phase, editing them, which means picking the one you're going to actually use. And then the printing process is another really important part of the creative process.
Has it changed a lot? Because when you and I talked before and you were talking about taking pictures of the Kennedy inauguration and it was so cold, snowy, and the pictures didn't come out that well.
Oh, yeah.
That was film. Now with the digital cameras, has it made it easier or harder?
Yes, it's a lot easier and more interesting. But I'll tell you one thing about those pictures. If I had not thrown those away, like I did in a moment of anger, today, through a digital process, I could recover every one of them.
Which is what Mr. Mitchell did, right?
Which is what Mike did with his photographs of the Beatles, which, by the way, are coming up for another big auction in England in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So they sell for the tens of thousands of dollars for a print. And I'm very excited about this new auction. He's going to sell his entire archive at once. So we'll see how it goes. I'll let you know.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to get him on the telly and we'll
talk to
him.
Absolutely.
Yes. Joining us also is Professor Sita Rocha. Sita is also a dear friend, colleague here at the department, and she's going to tell us about a special guest who's going to be speaking at this exhibit that opens up next Thursday. Sita?
Thank you, Louis. It's great to be here to talk about Cuba, my homeland, right? Fortuitously, we had a bunch of things come together at the same time. One was the opening of David's exhibit on the 8th of March. And Dr. Coronado and I, she's in the Department of Political Science, had been working on getting a speaker here on Cuba-U.S. relations. And, of course, right now they've gone back to being a bit tense for a lot of different reasons. But anyway, so this scholar, Dr. Benjamin Alvarado, will be with us that evening and as part of the exhibit, the opening. And he's going to be talking about changes in U.S.-Cuba policy and kind of where we're going to go from here, where he believes we're going to go from here. And the thing about Jonathan, he's a political scientist. He's been at the University of Nebraska, Omaha now for a couple decades. He did his doctoral dissertation work in Cuba, and he has been traveling back and forth over the last 20 years, and he's taken hundreds of students from his university to Cuba over all that time. So he's intimately familiar with past and present Cuba. And like I said, he's going to be talking about, so what's next, you know, with the changes in policy, first the Obama decision to release and to lift a lot of the restrictions on travel, people-to-people travel, educational travel, to more restrictions under the Trump administration. But I will mention that academic and educational trips to Cuba are still very much a go, and quite a few universities are continuing with their programs to take students abroad. We did, UTEP did last summer. We took 14 of our students. We had an amazing 8-day experience, and we're now currently planning for a second UTEP study abroad trip to Cuba for January term, and we're excited about that.
And this is something, of course, that you're going to make available, that information, but some students may wonder, is it difficult to get all that documents, passport, all that together?
Not at all. Not at all. There are direct flights now from Florida, well, a lot of cities in the U.S., to Cuba, to Havana, other parts of Cuba. Pretty much all you need is just a special permit that you buy from the airline you're flying with to Havana. And, of course, you need your U.S. passport. And that's pretty much up to date. That's really all you need. And tours are very well organized. We were lucky enough that we talked to a bunch of experts while we were in Cuba. They came and they met with the kids. We talked to journalists. We talked to environmental experts. We talked to artists, writers. We talked to experts on the Cuban economy. So it really was a very rich educational experience. And as I said, we're hoping to repeat that in January.
David, can you tell us, or Daniel, the time of your exhibit when it kicks off on the 8th? Is there a specific time, reception, anything like that?
We're kind of doing both the reception and the speaker, Jonathan, at the same time. So I always mess up times. 5:30, I'm pretty sure, is the opening. It'll be on our Facebook page, the museum's Facebook page. We'll definitely get information out about it. But so that's going to be on March 8th. That's going to be the opening. It'll also be the lecture. And then the exhibit is going to go on until June 1st.
You can't make an excuse for not going to see it till June 1st.
No. Yeah.
Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you. We've been visiting
with Daniel Carey Whalen. He is the director of the Centennial Museum, photographer Professor David Smith Soto, and professor journalist Sita Arocha. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.